of the morning to you. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas. In 5 minutes, David Thorpe is going to join the program. We'll talk NBA playoffs with him at that time. Looking at the awards, Paulie, and some of the prices today to where they were compared to like a week ago, a month ago, whatever. Jordan Clarkson earlier this year was around, he was close to $15 as the favorite for the sixth man of the year. I'm looking on Saturday. Some books now have actually pulled it off the board. I'm looking on Saturday. Clarkson, again, was $10 as of Friday. Could have been higher at other books. Ingles was plus 475. On Saturday morning, Clarkson was as low as $4 or 420. Ingles, like $2. I did see as high as plus 350 and how that award has moved. And this actually could be a thing now where Ingles could come and steal it from behind. Because like you said earlier in the show today, guys like Zach Lowe did like their awards story, and they said that he would give the vote to Joe Ingles. And we also have series prices out right now.
I think Atlanta's too low, $1.30. I definitely think Denver's too low, $1.30. Milwaukee, it's too much respect for Miami. Last year was last year. Milwaukee only $2.75.
Again, Milwaukee was like a $5 favorite last year.
Yep. And Clippers are $3.50. That was a great series last year, but again, Dallas just too inconsistent.
Yeah.
Dallas and Miami were the same team. I'll talk to Thorpe about that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But that was weird how it played out with how the Clippers tanked the last two games and how we get these matchups, and then the Clippers avoid the Lakers until the conference finals, if that would happen.
How they played it down the stretch.
Yeah.
So
Denver, $1.30. Portland's playing well, but that's...
Yeah, I can't trust Portland as far as you could throw them, Paul. Not with their defense overall. That is pretty wild, though, considering that series price a year ago when we loved the Heat against the Bucks, and the Bucks were gigantic favorites, obviously, in the second round of the playoffs, and they got taken out in five games, and now the adjustment to see that that almost makes me want to bet Milwaukee and lay 275 in the series.
Yeah. Hey, you got the revenge angle, right? They had to hear about it all year. And we got some fantastic potential matchups in the second round. Real good. I'm with you. I would love to see Wizards Nets. How good would that be?
Well, then come on.
Well, you can't put the totals high enough. How fun this Wizards team's been.
Uh-huh.
With Westbrook coming down 100 miles an hour, leading the break.
Do you think so? The playing game, the numbers are out as well. Tomorrow night, Wizards Celtics. Where do you think this number goes?
I think it'll be nothing but Washington money.
That's exactly what I anticipate as well.
17-6 run. Boston been terrible.
Yeah. It opened up 2, I think. I actually saw a 3 last night, Boston. And now I'm looking, it's down to 1.5.
You like the Pacers? I lean Pacers in the other.
I would lean
game.
That way, yeah.
That's at 3:30 Pacific. Look at the totals. 234, 230, 225, 222.
Mm-hmm.
I would lean Memphis in the other game. And, the way Curry's playing in the Warriors, I'll take the 7 points.
Would you take 7?
Yeah. LeBron just coming back?
I'm not so sure about that one yet.
Oh, you think they blow him out?
They could. I wouldn't be surprised, put it that way. David Thorpe on the program coming up next. We'll talk playoffs, matchups, dark horses, and who he has playing for the title.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Craig Anderson expected to start between the pipes today with the Washington Capitals. They're a plus 110 underdog at home against Boston, laying $1.30. 5.5 under in game 2 of their East Division first round series. Carolina opens up its series with Nashville as $1.85 home ice favorite. The Avalanche laying $2.50 against St. Louis. 5.5 under the total. NBA play-in tournament tomorrow. Indiana, the 3.5-point home favorite against Charlotte. Wizards laying 1.5 at the Boston Celtics. Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees today as a $2.80 road favorite of the Rangers. 8 over at Globe Life Field. Be sure to check out our new betting splits feature on VSiN.com. Before you place your next bet every day, we're posting the latest splits for games at current odds and what percentage of bets and money being placed on each game. Go to vsin.com and check out the betting splits plus live odds, line moves, and game analysis. Makes vsin.com the best place to visit before your next bet. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest vsin odds at vsin.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet's the place for you. Wagering on races at over 300 tracks. Easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Use the promo code Vegas100 today. Get a $100 match bonus on your first deposit. VSiN.com/horses for details. VSiN.com/horses, promo code Vegas100. Talk to this guy a couple times this week. Can't wait to preview the playoffs later in the week and talk to him now. Joined by David Thorpe at Coach Thorpe on Twitter. Follow him and with True Hoop as well. I subscribe. You should too. Great information and great chats and great information as well, as always, up there. You had a great tweet about, can you share with, about, expand on your tweet about, hey, what are we doing here when we want to avoid an opponent and maybe the potential ramifications and what could happen down the road by doing so?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I don't think it happens often. And I could be wrong, but I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I've never had a player, and I've coached a lot of players that have been on top four seeds, where they said that, you know, they really don't mind losing a game because they like the matchup down the road. I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
It seems so antithetical to everything we do as coaches and as players, where you're trying to play good and win because you want to get paid more money. It's a business. So what happens, coaches aren't telling players don't try hard. They may manipulate who they play to dictate that, but I think it's a dangerous line. And so, yes. I mean, if it turns out the Jazz won the first seed and now they might play Golden State or LA, well, they're going to play Golden State or LA, and then they would have the Clippers potentially after that. But, you know, whatever. If you're a four seed, then you play yourself to be a four seed, which means you've got flaws. If you could have been a two or three seed and you didn't make it, I don't think it happens often. And I think it's very risky if you do try to manipulate who your next opponent's going to be instead of just taking care of business.
A great explanation and answer too. These guys are, they have a lot of confidence and they believe they can beat anybody. So this is from this is the organization saying, okay, let's go with this lineup and not put our team in the best position to win in order to draw this opponent. I mean, look what the Clippers did. I mean, they tanked those two games so they would avoid the Lakers for the possible conference finals.
Yeah, and meanwhile, they couldn't end up, you know, you got to get through people. I talked to a player last night on a very, very good team, and he literally said, kind of what I was just saying, we got to get through everyone anyway. Like, if the coaches or the executives may think about stuff like this, the players, just what you said, they do have confidence. They think they could beat anyone. They get angry at the idea that they can't. It bothers them. Mm-hmm. That's why they're competitive. There are competitive people. It's why they're pro players. They train so hard. It's not just that they're tall and long and talented. They're driven to kick your ass. That's how they do it. That's how they're built. That's why they get up early in the morning and stay up late, work, 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 work. To tell them to lay down so that we can avoid a team, it just doesn't fly.
Did you enjoy the conclusion to the regular season yesterday with all those games being played, you know, throughout the entire time? I mean, like early starts all the way to last night from this angle, David, and that is, you know, the play-in factor where a bunch of teams were still available to, you know, maybe slide in and how they were going to maneuver, as opposed to any other year in history where the 8 seed would have been on the line and a bunch of teams were still alive for it. Did you think it took away some of the drama yesterday?
I thought that I'm writing about this right now. We're publishing it probably at True in the next hour or two. I thought that, I mean, I've been covering the league. I joined ESPN in 2007 and I've been following the league, you know, for 20 plus years now as an adult coach. I don't ever remember the last 3 weeks of a season where mostly we talked about winning games to get into the play-in or the postseason, as opposed to tanking and losing, what we were just talking about just a second ago. That used to be the only narrative, really, with some exceptions. And so the NBA deserves credit for recognizing, well, we need to change the narrative so that, I mean, the example I gave is, it's like the opening act of the most exciting part of a season is the postseason. The opening act was always a dud, a bomb. And so now we're going to see a lot more momentum going in the playoffs. We'll see how it results in terms of ratings, whatever. But it's certainly a lot more enthusiasm. Now, I don't think they wanted, if you dreamed of the scenario, I promise you, the NBA would not dream up Curry versus LeBron, where one of them might go home in a couple of days. It sounds great. But they'd much rather have him for a 7-game series or 2 or 3 and not just a game. It'll be a fun Tuesday, Wednesday night. There'll be some teams with a little more momentum going into those 7-8 versus 1-2 games. That's good to get momentum. That'll be fun. It may not last long. That's kind of what I'm writing about is I don't think any of these teams, with one exception, we all know who it is, can win the whole thing. But to answer your question, I thought the end of the season was much more exciting and filled with drama than what we normally see.
How about the late game tomorrow? And you tweeted this, and we talked about, was it 2 years ago? You said the Celtics should trade people when they had all these guys. And Danny Ainge had this treasure chest of assets, and he couldn't turn it into a superstar. And now here they are with, come on, a 7 seed? And now you're taking on, what a turnaround by the Wizards, who closed 17-6. What did you see? What happened this year with Boston?
Yeah, so when I first tweeted and we talked about the Celtics, it was when they made the Eastern Conference Finals with Rozier and Tatum and Brown as very, very young players. Tatum was a rookie. I thought they should consider trading Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and just build around those young guys because then of course the next year was not a good year. Really the Celtics, they kind of remind me sometimes of how Miami is typically. They get better as the year goes on. I really thought Boston was always just a week away from kind of finding their stride. And then Jaylen Brown went out. Kemba Walker played 43 games, I think. That's a problem. Jason Tatum used an inhaler all season after getting COVID. They got Evan Fournier, and then he got COVID and is dealing with that. It was just a bad luck, kind of like with the Lakers in a sense. Lakers were a better team and had better upside. But both teams just had some bad luck, for sure. And what you said is right. I favor the Wizards to win the game. They finished, as you said, 17-6. They were done. Yeah, I watched the game yesterday. They were lost in the third quarter until they were found. And they've got this backcourt that attacks and attacks and attacks. And you think, guys, you think about Beal and Westbrook, and you think of they play super fast, top 2 pace in the league. But they really played bully ball. I mean, Robin Lopez scored 18 points yesterday, which is season high. And then Hachimura is a power forward. He is a big, strong dude. They beat you up in the paint. Top 3, I think, in points in the paint. Certainly in the last 15 games of the season, they really kind of found themselves pounding the ball inside. And they guard the 3 pretty well. They want you to do the same thing. And they think they can score better than you in the paint. They probably can because of Westbrook and Beal. So, I mean, Westbrook could have one of his, 3-for-25 games. I know that's possible. But if he plays the way he's been playing down the stretch, I think they're the better team.
Is there a first-round series that maybe jumps off the page to you? For example, I think the Atlanta-Knicks series could be potentially great, but Paulie said that he likes the Hawks a lot in that series. Would you favor one team or the other?
Guys, I just got done focusing on the playing games. Now you want me to look at this one? Yeah. To me, the Knicks have found an identity that really works, and they found it for a longer period of time than Atlanta. Atlanta got, I know they made a coaching change, and that's worked, and Nate's done a great job, Nate McMillan, but they got healthy, right? That makes a big difference when you got more talented guys back. I think it's a 7-game series. I think it's super close. I don't know who I'd favor yet. I kind of lean to New York. The series that, to me, is most attractive would be whatever the series the Lakers play in. So I know that sounds silly and cliche, but I don't favor them against the Jazz. I might against Phoenix. I doubt it. It depends on how they look. I mean, even yesterday, last night, third quarter, Anthony Davis was walking gingerly on his ankle. He's been amazing down the stretch, but it's just not fair to assume that these guys, that duo of LeBron and Davis, are going to suddenly magically be great. If they are, they're a hell of a team. They're the best, 7 or 8 seed in the history of the NBA when healthy. They ended up not being a great shooting team. They had a couple players that shot well. Caruso's important. I think the Jazz can wipe them out, not necessarily in 4 or 5 games. It's possible. It just depends on the health of those guys. But even healthy, I think the Jazz are the better team.
Wow.
But I want to see LeBron. He's no 7 or 8 seeds ever made the finals. LeBron is built to kind of break records. So he's kind of must-watch no matter what.
Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vieson. David Thorpe, our guest, at Coach Thorpe on Twitter. Check him out with True Hoop and everything he's writing about there and covering the playoffs. I subscribe, and you should too. Great site. How about this? and maybe it's a big deal, maybe it isn't. How important are fans going to be? I was looking at this today. There'll be 70% in Utah.
In Utah.
40% yeah. in Denver, 50% in Milwaukee, and then you're in 10, 15% with LA, Philly, the Nets. I mean, how big of a deal do you think that could be?
It's such a great question, and it's one of the few things we really don't know. Like, we know a lot about these, projecting these games and what's happened during the season and then historically. This is such a unique situation. I was looking at that, too, probably this morning. I was looking at those capacities.
Yeah.
I thought Salt Lake City might be at 100%. In fact, I'm still not convinced they won't be by the time if they get to July, which we don't know. My guess is it'll make some difference. It's some difference. I don't know that it'll be a huge difference, but when the margins between a lot of these teams in the West are so small, yeah, I mean, Salt Lake, Utah already has by far the best home record.
Yeah,
they were terrific this year, and you know, people forget about the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell hasn't played in 3 weeks, and that's definitely impacted their offense. But in the last 15 games of the regular season, they had the number one rated defense. Those last 15 games, and are I think third for overall. They have a consistent way to win. They're great at home, and with those fans, it's such a big advantage over. I mean, if in that first round, if they're playing the Lakers, I think LA is going to be 11% capacity.
Yeah.
If I remember reading right. Yeah, I think it's going to be some difference. And so, if it's worth 2 points, well, think about how close these games are anyway. That means something, right?
Yeah, I would think. By the way, let me ask you about this because I think you were tweeting about this last week as well. Any concern with the Suns on defense? If you go back since the All-Star break, David.
Yeah.
They are 20th in defensive efficiency. 112.3 is the number overall. And over the last 12 games, 27th. Cause for concern here with the Suns?
Yeah. No, I've been writing about that. That is the one flaw in what I think is probably the Coach of the Year award for Monty. There's four guys probably who stand out, but I think he probably wins it and deservedly so. To be second in that league. And I know that in that conference, I know that the big duo in LA was hurt, but the Clippers, you know, they played, those guys played plenty of games. Losing Jamal Murray, yeah, but they got Aaron Gordon and of course they got the MVP, and yet Phoenix finished number two. Yeah, no, it's a concern, and we know they have the potential to really guard. I don't really know. I haven't really made a deep dive into why that drop-off happened, but that's a stark drop to where they were. They do have a lot of weapons on offense and they have a lot of confidence, but you know, if Phoenix loses game one at home in the first round or the second round, either way, they're playing a very good team in Golden State or LA. I don't know. I just don't know that they have the moxie to recover. I mean, Chris Paul has been around, but those guys are young. So I think Phoenix is the most vulnerable of the top seeds.
All right. Very good. So you said last week that you think, get rid of the award if the Joker doesn't win the MVP. Monty to win Coach of the Year. How about Rookie of the Year? And LaMelo Ball is a huge favorite in the Benny market, David. But here's the thing. He only played 50 games. Ant-Man played 71 with the Timberwolves. Let me give you his last 9 games going back to the last game in April. Anthony Edwards here, 27 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 52% from the field, and 41% from three. The T-Wolves actually played well down the stretch, finishing 7-5, and Ball was not great. Do you think this is over with, or do you think Edwards has a chance?
I mean, I'm not great at predicting what media people feel, but I would pick Edwards. I look at it, if you look at, rookies tend not to help your team win games. Neither guy actually had a positive estimated plus-minus for the season. Ball had a better one than Edwards overall, for sure. Quickly from the Knicks had the highest estimated plus minus of any of the rookies that were in the rotation. But I mean, Ball had what, 24 good games, whatever the number is, 22, 25. It was, you know, he was bad to start. He was bad to finish. He wasn't very good at the end of the season. He put up some numbers because the ball is in his hands all the time. He did not shoot well down the stretch. He come off a broken wrist. I get it. He finished 35% for the year, 35.5. That's good. Not great, but good. I would give it to Edwards, but it seems like Ball is the guaranteed to win. Charlotte did not finish the season strong with them or without them. And Minnesota did, like you said. But yeah, it seemed like Ball is destined. The Sixth Man of the Year award is the more interesting one to me, right?
Yep. Who do you have winning that, by the way?
I would think the media is going to pick Clarkson. I watched every Jazz game this season because I thought they were the one contender that I really know very well. and I know them very well now. I would pick Ingles just because Clarkson's amazing as a scorer, but he also shoots the out of games. Has no conscience. He boasts about having no conscience. It's my single biggest worry for them in the postseason is they might have a couple three games where he just shoots you out of it because he just keeps chucking the ball. So I prefer Ingles, and I think Ingles had a better year in terms of pure metrics, but Clarkson's numbers are probably big enough where he's going to win.
Great analysis, as always. Follow him on Twitter. He is at Coach Thorpe. Read him again in truehoop.com. Great stuff, David. Thanks so much for popping on again today. We appreciate that.
Thanks, guys. Be safe. Enjoy the games.
Yep. Watched every Jazz game this year. He's now... A bunch of guys have said Ingles would be the guy.
You recall a year that's so wide open? You can make a case for several teams.
No, not in the NBA.
I mean, you can't be shocked if the Sixers get that. Well, it's still one seed. I like the Nets, but they got to take on Milwaukee in the second round. Maybe Milwaukee can exercise the demons.
Right.
LeBron's a seven. Utah, the one.
Right. In terms of
a lot of people like the Clippers to come out of the West.
Well, if you go back for like a 20-year stretch, longer than that probably, at the beginning of the season, like who's going to win it all? Right. It's down to like Barkley would joke about it. It's like three teams can win the title in October. You'd say that.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Not this year. Up next, the more NFL betting markets are available. You can bet on the team with the best regular season record and the team with the worst regular season. Details next.
Sports bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now. Use the promo code VSiN2K. Get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards at your fingertips. Download the app now to experience this premium book for yourself. Must be 21. Gambling problem. 1-800-GAMBLER. I know you tweeted about this, too. And yeah, you can't rip the players because it's from an organizational perspective, and the organization's making the call about this, but load management guy. What Vanessa said about Kobe? I can't miss a game. What about the guy who saved up all the year to come watch me play? Jordan was the same way. Jordan, I can't take a day off. Yeah, I come to town once a year, maybe.
Yeah.
The guy in Minnesota wants to watch me play. I can't. I can't take the night off.
I mean, I love that attitude and the mindset. If that's actually a real thing, you know, if he said that.
Well, Kobe, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And MJ was the same way. Yeah.
You think he did? I had somebody who follows that team very closely who reached out to me and said, there's no chance he said that.
Who?
Kobe.
Come on.
He said he was so competitive, he had no empathy for anybody. He didn't care. That's what made him a legend. That's what made him so great. There's no way Kobe Bryant said that. Lifelong diehard Lakers fan. Loves Kobe Bryant.
Oh, come on.
Reached out to me via text and said, there's no chance he said that. I'm like, don't ruin it for me. Huh? Hey, come on.
No, that guy's out of his mind.
You know, here's the thing.
What's Vanessa going to make it up?
That's what I said, too.
Come on.
He's, yeah.
Guys in the media, he said that, too? The guy's a media member. I know who he is.
He may or may not be a media member. Doesn't matter. Best regular season record in the NFL. Odds are up right now. Chiefs are plus 450. Buccaneers 6-1, Paulie.
That's your pick?
Well, I mean, with that schedule,
angle.
Everybody back? Bills are 10, Niners 11, Ravens 12, Browns 16. I think the Browns are really good. Tough schedule, though. And did you see this? Where the NFL made an oopsie-daisy with the schedule, potentially? Putting four teams in their bye week in week 14?
Well, this is more of your angle, but explain this, because I don't really follow it, but this is important, though.
Well,
go ahead.
It's the first week of the fantasy football playoffs.
Uh-huh.
Don't scoff.
That's a
people who listen to this network clearly won't. They'll get it.
Yeah.
So now what? How do leagues adjust? What does, you know, ESPN, Yahoo, NFL Network, any of them that you play in, right? How are they going to adjust their settings, their rulings with that? How do commissioners operate now? Never thought about that. When I saw, you know, Peter King wrote about it and Pro Football Talk picked up on it, I'm like, that's a pretty big deal, actually. And the worst regular season record, Texans plus 250,
uh-huh.
Lions 350. Who's going to challenge for this, right? Texans almost feel like it's too easy if there's no Watson here. Jets are plus 850.
That could be the Jets.
You think?
Yeah, Wilson. Wilson has a bad year. Wilson gets hurt. Yeah, I could see that. Sure.
Eagles are 13-1.
Yes, all it takes is an injury.
The Raiders are 16.
I'll give you one. Let's back up a second.
For best record?
Hear me out. And I know I think he's a buffoon. Let's say there's a key injury. Things don't work out in Washington. I don't think much of the Eagles and the Giants. To the Cowboys, 25-1. Maybe win, you know, in a fluky year, win like 12 games. And that good enough. I don't know. I'm just thinking. Because the Seahawks and Rams, the division's too good.
Right.
Browns,
sure.
The division's too good. 49, look who's on the list. I guess you could make the case for the Bills because, okay, Tua's, please. And then we'll see how Newton does with New England.
But I guess, you know.
I don't want to go chalk there, so I'm looking down and maybe.
There's a non-zero chance that could happen, yes.
How about the Colts?
I don't know, man. Carson Wentz.
Well, come on. Come on. Don't piss on the parade.
I can look into that division.
Because of the division. I know I'm not a Wentz fan, but I'm saying 25-1. Maybe Tannehill gets hurt. The other two teams are awful. Lousy division. Wentz reunited with Reich. He gets back to an MVP level and the Colts take off. And 12-13 wins.
Oh, I'd like to see odds actually on Washington to go church, wrong pew.
Okay, with
right,
Washington.
Where maybe Fitzmagic has that incredible season. The defense is better than it was last year. And, you know, Dallas' defense flat out stinks again.
Yeah, that's an angle.
And then
Washington kept winning games with the shoddy quarterback.
Of course,
Alex Smith was a great story, but I mean the numbers were.
I think they have the personnel. Washington, like they have, you know, a pretty damn good roster. And if he goes there in like one out of every 1,000 years or whatever for Fitzmagic, or one out of every 1,000 simulations where he plays it, you know,
one more.
Great.
One more. What do we do all year? We rip Drew Brees in his hot dog arm in the 5-yard pass. Okay. John Payton, great coach. Winston Hill, whatever they decide to do.
I actually had the Saints circled.
32-1, the Saints.
Yeah, and Winston's minus 280 to be the starting quarterback now, week one. Minus 280.
Super Bowl hangover, Brady gets banged up, misses a couple games. I don't know.
That guy can actually throw the ball deep.
Right.
Unlike Brees, who he could not do that over the final couple of years. Today's hockey card coming up next. Is there something to this with this team, or much to do about nothing? Today from the OddsTrader.com studio here at Circa Resort and Casino, OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info that you need. Live in-game odds and stats. And you can compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses as well. We'll get into today's NHL card coming up. How about this? On the Golden Knights. Last 13 playoff games. Good tweet here from Tyler Bischoff. The Golden Knights have had more total shots, shots on goal, and expected goals than their opponents 12 times. They're 5-8 in those games. And if you go back and look at their last 10 playoff games with how many goals they've scored per game, starting with yesterday, 0-2-1-2-3-0-3-0-1-5. They've had more than 4 goals one time. That was a win, but a bunch of losses in there where they just could not put the puck in the net. They've been shut out 3 times in the last 10 playoff games.
Yep.
And they had 30 shots on goal. They had, 19 or 20 in the first period yesterday. They had 30 at the end of the second. Not a ton of high danger chances, but I think the expected goals was, 1.5 or 1.7, something like that yesterday for the Golden Knights. And they had 40 shots on goal in regulation. And that turnover was just huge at the very end. I mean, Fleury played awesome yesterday, and he had a ton of really good saves. And then that happens, and, they gave the Wild a power play to start overtime, and,
they killed it off, but right.
Yeah, it happened right after
Come on, the turnover in your own zone.
That's the biggest...
It's terrible.
Right.
This stuff can't happen.
And they were... Did they even come up with any chances at all on the power play on their own yesterday? Yeah, everything was uneventful the way it felt.
Yep. Silly. But that's the other thing. You're talking about Talbot, Thatcher Demko, Hugh Dobin.
Thatcher Demko.
This isn't Hasek and Patrick Waugh here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same song and dance. Put the puck in the net. I think they're too tight. It's the same thing. Shut out at home to start. My God, they're in deep trouble. I mean, this is a tough matchup to begin with.
Yep.
So now they are they're up against it.
Do you have Carolina on future tickets?
Yes. Jeff Davis recommended them early. I got 15-20 to 1 or something. Yeah,
okay. I found this over the weekend. What do you think of a Carolina-Colorado exact
Stanley
matchup?
Cup. What is it?
It was 30-1. I got it at 25-1.
Okay. I could see that.
I mean, if the Golden Knights get beat by the Wild, that number would be much lower than that.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Then with the reseed, that depends who would come out. That'd be one, that'd be the 1 and 2 then. Carolina, the third best record, right? Vegas was second, so if they're knocked out, Colorado number 1, Carolina 3. Absolutely, that's a play.
That can happen, yeah.
And whoever wins the North and whoever wins the East.
Yeah, I thought that was a good number.
I would like Carolina against the winner of the North or East. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too.
Good. I'd love to see it. I mean, Toronto, Carolina is intriguing. If that's the matchup, Edmonton, Carolina, whoever, take your pick. I don't know. To me, it was the big talking point going in. Could you trust this goaltending in Pittsburgh? And that was awful. Awful. And you lose to a backup goalie too. Now we'll see what that's the other thing. So we're mad at the NBA all the time? The NHL's right there. Stop hiding stuff.
Oh, I know.
Oh, lower body injury. The Varlamov thing was he left against the Bruins. There's nothing. You know, Samsonov got off the COVID list. Anderson comes in and saves the day. I mean, everything's just lower body injury, day-to-day, whatever. They don't give you anything in the NHL, starting with the team that plays here.
I would say
they don't tell you anything about injuries.
I'd say the timing of the NBA is worse because they'll wait until tip-off to tell you what's going to happen, which sucks. But how vague the NHL is, the teams are in general, they never disclose anything. Guy could break his leg on the ice and, you know, a compound fracture, lower body injury. Could be his thigh, could be his ankle, you don't know. Upper body injury, that's all they're going to give you. So good luck. Your guess is as good as anybody else's. You think the Bruins bounce back tonight?
I don't know.
Favorite to get on the road, you can get the Capitals at plus money everywhere
That was a weird game. They've lost 5 playoff games in a row. They're 3-12, last 15 in Washington. Maybe the special teams decides this too. Washington's top 5 penalty kill and power play. And we'll see what Anderson has here. I mean, great story. The old man hung in there. Weird game. All the goals were flukes. The first goal that Boston allowed, broken stick, comes down. Wilson, top shelf where Mama keeps the peanut butter. Boston's goal, total fluke. I don't know what Vanacek's doing. He lose track of the puck. It's off a faceoff. And he moves too late and gets hurt. The other goals were deflections, including the game winner. So, you know, Rask has to do a better job. But if it's deflected 2 or 3 times, there's nothing you can do. I mean, come on. But it's an important game. But in hockey, you're not out of it if you're down 0-2.
No. With home ice. No, we've seen that recently.
But that's, you know, we just asked Thorpe. It's the same thing with the NBA and the NHL when you're talking about capacity. Pittsburgh's at 50%. Vegas is at 50%. Well, they both lose. Colorado's at 42. They expect 10,000 to 12,000 in Carolina tonight. Nashville have about 10,000 to 12,000. Is Boston in that same range? What's Boston at?
I think Boston's pretty low,
They're
actually.
They're lower? Okay.
Yeah.
Good crowd in Florida. Well, that's a tough assignment if the Penguins. Because the Islander, that place is going to be rocking. Final year for Nassau Coliseum.
Uh-huh.
And then in the NBA, 70% in Utah. And he's right. This right. That can change. You're telling me they're not going to bump this up? Out here in Vegas, like, okay, no more masks. Okay. No. Casinos, no more masks. You're telling me if a team makes it to the conference finals, they're not going to bump that up and say, let's pack this thing, get as many people there as possible?
Sure.
Come on. Utah, 70%.
Or they might not take an exact head count.
Milwaukee, 50%. Denver, 40%. And you get the Nets 10, Philly 15, and the LA teams are low.
I'll give you the numbers right now. Everything's on the board for tomorrow. Everything's up. I mean, Colorado's laying $3 right now at some spots. They're as low as 265. That's here at Circa. Carolina tonight is between.
Oh, Colorado's tonight.
What did I? No, no. Yeah, no, no. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give you the. Everything is up, including tomorrow night, the games. But yeah, Colorado plays tonight. Carolina, their big favorite tonight as well. The game's tomorrow night. Pittsburgh in game two. They're laying $1.35.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the consensus. Total there is 5.5. Tampa is a $1.30 road favorite. And Vegas comes back. They're laying about $1.55, $1.60 tomorrow night.
How about some prey? I like any props? Pastrnak, first goal, $7.50. Last goal, $7.50. To score, plus $1.15. Ovechkin, $8.50, $8.50, plus $1.35. Bergeron, 11-1, 11-1, 2-1. I love that. First, last, or to score, period.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Nashville. All games like that. And then it's always funny. Then you get lost, and then you see that stupid Calgary-Vancouver game.
I mean, what are we doing?
Although that game was bonkos last night. Oh, it was 5-1 Calgary. Went to overtime.
Yeah, I know. What a drop-off, though. Again, that means absolutely nothing after watching Florida and Tampa play their guts out for 3 hours. Up next, we'll get into the NBA. Series prices are starting to trickle out. Matchups, game one prices as well, all coming up.
Exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the largest offer of live in-play options. BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown book, valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Play SugarHouse.com in Jersey. All right. Hell of a year. They got through everything. They got all the games in. And several games came down to the final game. Well, several teams came down to the final game from a win total standpoint. I know you know, always be shopping and get the best number, but oh my God, was that so apparent and evident with some of these win totals with what happened with Cleveland, the Wizards, Dallas. You know, maybe you got a push out there, but Dallas, imagine you play 72 games and all these, it comes down to the final game for four teams and you get hooked with Dallas and Dallas stubs their toe again. Open a 9-point favorite against Minnesota. Never in the game yesterday.
No.
Never in the game.
And then it was so many bad losses.
It was vomit-inducing when Seth, who also was on it, he's going to take a week off, he said. He was on it, too. Seth just emailed the resume of the bad losses that the Mavs had, including three losses to the Kings alone and two to the Rockets, who had the worst record in the league.
Well, I mean, look at the scores in the T-Wolves games. They were blown out both times.
Yeah.
And I want to say that Fox missed at least one of those games.
Missed two.
Not two. Yeah, two games against the Mavs.
And the two of them were at home, they got beat.
Oh, God. Well, here's the thing. At least you were in a spot
to maneuver.
Get out of it a little bit yesterday because they were big favorites on the road.
Yes.
So that you had that going for you.
And
anyway.
The T-Wolves opened a 3-1 dog on a money line at their DraftKings, and then it went down to 6. That line crashed, but...
Mm-hmm.
But what happened there with, we didn't know what the seeds were going to be, and there was so much in play, and it was strange that the Suns punted on the game yesterday, and that it was a 9-point move. The Celtics played nobody, a big move on the Knicks. That was one lose some. Did that go from 8 to 12? Knicks, 15-0 run by Boston in the fourth quarter. Knicks almost lost the game.
Sure.
And somehow the Knicks get the 4 seed.
All the teams, though, that really... How many teams that, well, had to win is a, you know, subjective phrase here in the NBA. Because the Mavericks, you could make a case that, like, for positioning purposes, they would have been better off. But the way it broke last night, it didn't really matter anyway for them. Clippers, they were tanking, obviously.
Well, that was strange because it didn't really mean anything for Dallas in terms of prove their seed because they won the tiebreak if there was a three-way tie, and that's what happened.
Right, right.
But they lost the tiebreaker to Portland. But they won it if the Lakers had the same record, and that's what happened.
Sure.
And then Portland went out and destroyed Denver. But the Clippers laid down the last two games, but that was
the way. But here's the deal: like the way it broke yesterday early, three teams last night were going to be playing, and they were in spots against bad teams. Like they were going to play as if the game really mattered. It was the Lakers, the Blazers, and the Jazz. And the Lakers...
Well, they, Denver's good, but it was, didn't mean anything.
It didn't mean anything to them, right.
Sure,
right. That's, yeah.
Yeah, they killed them, right.
Sure. So for the teams that had actually meant something last
right,
9-point
favorite, right.
That Moneyline parlay paid, it was minus 120.
Yeah, good observation.
And the Lakers were the only team to struggle, really. I know the Jazz got down early, but they were, after like the first quarter struggles, they completely killed the Kings last night. Lakers, third quarter, it was tight. Then they eventually pulled away.
And it started Friday. Wizards needed the game, routed the Cavs. Sixers needed the game, routed the Magic. Jazz needed the game, covered against the Thunder. A gift, which I fell asleep at the wheel. The Clippers sat everybody and actually wanted to lose. They wanted to avoid the Lakers until the conference finals. And the Rockets beat them. The 17-win Rockets. That line opened 12. They won the game. The big win Friday for the Warriors, and then also yesterday. Knicks had to win. They got it done. The Wizards game was huge, which I know, but the Wizards, to get to the 8, great job by the Wizards. And Pacers had to win.
Well, they're
that was a good
season.
Bet. The Raptors with that, the outfit they put on the court the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, right.
Pacers won and covered. They wanted to get it. Didn't help them, but they wanted to try to improve their seed. I was surprised the Suns punted on the game, but won anyways. Hawks won. Didn't mean anything. Nets needed to win to get the 2 seed. They won.
That's the one game I lost early on yesterday. Well, that was actually a late game.
Yeah, but you're right. The only team that kind of that was the favorite that you could say, okay, you need a win here is the Mavs. Although, it worked out for them where they still got the 5.
Mm-hmm. I wanted nothing to do with that Clippers game last night. Because, first of all, you're taking on a team that, you know, they this OKC this year was tanking on steroids with what they did, mm-hmm. right? But with the Clippers and how they were approaching the final weekend of the year, like, I'm not touching this game at all. No way.
Yep.
That was not on any tickets
yesterday. BetMGM to lead the league in scoring. Curry was 9-1. Assists, Westbrook 5-1. Gobert plus 250 in blocks. Butler 11-1 in steals. Capella not listed for rebounds.
Which is surprising, but.
Okay. To win the division, Sixers plus 350. Hawks 5-1. Bucks, my 2,500. Jazz plus 225. Mavs $1.80. And there's your big boy, huh? That's a great feeling. Suns 20-1. Thanks to all the emails and tweets, too, over the weekend. We got there. We got there Friday night.
Made a lot of sense back in February.
Yes, it was all about motivation.
Sure.
Why would the Lakers and Clippers care about winning the division?
Well,
Suns would care.
Specifically the Clippers.
Yes.
And how they've handled load management. By the way, we talked about this, and then we got somewhat of a break. Davis went down for a long time. Then LeBron goes down for what feels like now forever. And you knew that the Clippers were going to be like, it doesn't really mean much to us. We don't really care about this.
Yeah.
And the way they approach it with Kawhi getting nights off whenever. Same thing with a bunch of the other players on the team.
Well, good for BetMGM because they did a good job this menu. I've never seen some of this stuff before. Best overall record, Jazz 25-1. Worst record, Rockets 150-1, which is a bad price because you knew they were trading hard. That's why I bet the win total under. But the Rockets were at 1 point. The Rockets were at 1 point 11-10. And won 17 games.
I wonder how many bets they took on that.
And you also had the horrific beat, an all-timer with the Thunder. 22.5, 23 the win total. They were 21-27. No good. Lost 24-25.
You know, sometimes when you see bets like that on the board, it absolutely is worth putting something on it. For example, like last year, the Chiefs have finished fourth in the AFC West. It was 175-1. Well, if Mahomes gets hurt in week one, you might be onto something here. And with the Rockets, sure. The talk was Harden could be dealt. And at that point...
Could be.
I'm being nice, right? But at that point, then anything could possibly happen. And that's even after they acquired John Wall and some other guys. Doesn't matter. They were so bad for so long. And 150-1 comes in.
Knicks, David Bierman, ESPN. The Knicks finished with the third best ATS season in the last 30 years. The 2009-2010 Bucks went 54-28. I do not remember that.
No, neither do I.
The 11-12 Spurs went 43-21-2, and the Knicks went 46-26 ATS. My God. And they had the miracle cover on Saturday.
Would you put Randle on first-team All-NBA?
He had a hell of a year. I know that's a tough call, though. You're running out of spots.
I honestly feel like, and he's going to win because he's such a big favorite to win Most Improved.
I laughed at that contract. Didn't they give him a ton of money? I think it was
a short contract, actually, wasn't it?
I thought it was, okay.
But he, honestly,
Tibbs, come on.
The guy, I'm not saying he should win it. Randle should be in the mix for the MVP. If you really think about what he's meant to that team.
Okay.
Again,
I'll go along.
Win total. Nobody thought anything of this team. It was a throwaway season. Tibbs is now on his, third team overall as a head coach. Wears out his welcome all the time. And, I mean, he brought... Randle has been... first of all, at Kentucky, he was such a bulldog with the basketball. The problem was he could, never finish at or near the rim. Now the guy's like, I have super confidence in him when he's shooting it from 25 feet.
Yeah.
Which the turnaround from his game has been remarkable.
What are you thinking Tuesday and Wednesday?
Well, I like everybody. It feels like this is going to be a little too...
Everyone will be on the Wizards?
Yes, I think everybody's going to be on the Wizards.
Yeah.
Sure
on point spread.
It's what my gut says. So I rather than getting on that bandwagon, I might just stay away from the game. And the way the Hornets are playing right now, I don't think I can touch that team. Bad basketball down the stretch.
You would not take the 6.5 or 7 with the Warriors, huh?
As of right now, I would not take 6.5, no.
And the Memphis is 3.5 against the Spurs.
What do you do there? Because you have Pop, right, who you have to give an edge to still. But overall, as a team, they're not as good as Memphis. Memphis, obviously, they have the best player on the court.
So this is playoff basketball now. And they say it slows down and becomes more of a half-court grind. Well, look at the totals.
Yeah.
I want to see what the pace is like. These Indiana games have been track meets. Look at their scores. Same with Washington. You got a 229, a 234, a 228, 222. It's going to be put to the test.
Yeah, I would say so. Speaking of that, did you see the one total over the weekend? I got to get the schedule here. The Oklahoma City-New Orleans game, I think that opened high 230s, dropped down to 220.
The 10-point move on a total?
I think it was 15 points or more.
What?
And then we found out that people were going to be sitting, and it went over, it was 125, 122. I think the overnight number was high 230s and a close 220.
It was
flies over.
When you're following people on Twitter and then you see the team itself tweet stuff out, it was nuts the last couple of days.
Yeah.
10 guys are out. Eight guys are. And then what they put next to the name. Yeah, he's got a cough.
I know. I don't care for what the Bucks did last night at all.
You can't do that. You can't do that at all. That's disgusting. You can't do it to your fans. You can't do it to bettors. You can't do it to fantasy people. You can't tweet out right before the game, all these guys are out.
Yep.
Here's a lineup.
It was, and again, the game was supposed to...
It's Tom the bartender and you know, Mickey from down the street. I mean, you can't do it.
Tip time was 8 o'clock last night, so they probably tipped off at 8:10, 8:11 local time, right? At 8:09, the Bucks Twitter feed, here's who's starting tonight. 8:09. The league has to put the clamps down on that.
Yep. Unacceptable.
Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll go over some... interesting NHL playoff props. We'll give you a price on the nation of the winning team and numbers on which division will win the cup coming up next.